is the September 30th meeting of the PNB Programming Committee. I'm going to ask Secretary Nancy Saibara Natatomi to take the roll.
Okay. Here we go again. Benito Diaz from WCFW?
Present.
Okay. Michael Novick?
From KPFK, yes, present.
Yes, KPFK, yes. Okay. George Ryder?
Here.
From KPFT, yes. Okay, myself, Nancy Saibara Natatomi, KPFT, yes. Alex Steinberg from KPF.
Present.
No, WBAI. Sorry.
Here.
Alex, here's here. And Bernard White is here.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. That's six,
that's
six
that's
that are here. And that's a quorum. And the people who are not here is, do I need to say? Tony Norman, Wesley Bethune, and oh, there must be somebody else who's not here. Margie Murray, I'm looking at an old list on the calendar, but this is Margie's not here? No.
No, she's still a member. Okay. Let's see. So we have an agenda carried forth from the last meeting. The first item was the continuation of the discussion about establishing some regulations for program councils through the PNB. The second item on the agenda was, Nancy, would you read it again?
Okay, yes, could I ask somebody to mute their button?
Yes.
Hear a lot of talking.
Yes, thank you.
Could somebody mute their telephone or everybody mute? I don't know. Whoever thinks
someone
they have a lot of background
noise in the background.
Yeah, I'm in a very noisy place. I'll do a mute.
Okay.
Is there a phone to enter for muting?
Who is speaking? Is this Michael?
That's Michael.
Michael was asking, yes.
Yeah, I wish you had a better phone. It's kind of hard to. Maybe if you back up from the phone, it won't. It'll be clearer.
Yeah, I was asking, is there a code to enter for muting?
I'm sorry, I cannot understand you. What did you say?
Is there a code to enter for muting the phone?
Oh yeah.
Oh.
Yes. I think it's #1, but it might be #6. John, what are
no,
you still there?
#1.
Okay, that worked.
Michael, are you still with us?
No, he's on mute. Don't ask for it. Nancy, let me take over the meeting from here.
Okay, sorry.
So the agenda has three items carried forth. One is the continuation of the discussion on the program council and what kind of recommendations we want to make to the PNB about that. The second was national evaluation of programs. Did I get that correct?
Yes, national programming evaluation.
And the third was
PNB last year's procedures open national events like the Verizon strike or the single payer insurance.
So this was developing procedures for being able to do national broadcasts of important important one-time events occurring in the country. So. Are there any other suggestions for the agenda?
Well, #4 was how to determine if the program is mission-oriented, mission-related, mission-projected.
Compliant.
Well, compliant. Thank you.
Was this a separate item, or is that?
No, that was #4 on my, what I found. I just found that was those four items.
Who put that on the agenda?
I don't know who did it. I just see my notes, those four things written down.
All right. Well, we'll leave it there then. Anybody, perhaps someone will come back and tell us what it means. Is there any other items for the agenda?
Yes. Can I put something on the agenda? Gather or collect programmers' input anonymously? For the purpose of improving programming.
Can we put that under the program council discussion? Because That's certainly one of the functions of the program council, or at least the program council have existed in the past.
Yeah, but if you wait for that, it might be, you know, next year. I don't know. Okay, it's all right. So I will discuss it later in email, maybe.
Okay. Any other items? Okay. Let me just start and sort of review where we're at. We had a conversation last time about program councils and what their functioning was. We had two suggestions, one from Alex, which had been through the LSB, I gathered, but had never actually been put in place. And another was from Michael, which was sort of an informal arrangement that had been apparently existing for a while, but also has never actually been put in place. And so I'll just ask Alex and Michael if I've misstated any of that. And they're both available in the Yahoo group files. One thing that I noticed in the difference between the two, which I think is maybe perhaps where we might want to start talking, is that Alex's version had a means of overriding the program manager, the program director. If the committee voted two-thirds to do something that the program director didn't want to do, the vote of the committee took precedence, whereas Michael's didn't have that feature. It was advisory, and the program director had to report back to the council if he did something which was contrary to their wishes, but he could still do it. He couldn't be overridden by the council. And it seems to me that that's a critical piece in this. But let me just throw it over.
Am I audible again?
Is that Michael?
Yeah, it's Michael Ovick.
Yes, you are.
We did have a mechanism with the interim program council, and then it was proposed for this list of program advisory committee that was never officially established as an informal one that the interim program director set up. It's a little different than what we proposed. But for both of those, the idea was that if there was a conflict between the management and the advisory council on a question, that the obligation of the management was to listening and justify the decision that they made. And there was also a role designated for the program oversight committee of the LSB to ensure that there was fairness in the decision.
Anyone else want to speak?
Let me just clarify a little bit about the version I got from me. It was not accepted by the local station board. It was presented to the local station board, and they actually voted it down. It's a proposal that I created that came out of our local programming committee. I wouldn't want to get too hung up in the details of that proposal. And
Rodrigo.
I wouldn't get too hung up in the details of that proposal. It's simply one possible way to organize this kind of a thing. Whether a council should be advisory or more than advisory is, of course, a critical question. But at this point, I'd be happy to have even an advisory program council. We don't have anything right now. And so I'm not going to hang my hat on any of the details of that earlier proposal. And after our local station board voted it down, I asked the members to come up with an alternative proposal, and no one ever did. I think the difficulty in implementing a program council, whether it be a BAI or KPFA or any of the other locations, stems from the fact that we have some very vested interest groups who have a certain amount of power, and none of them want to give it up. Of course, the program director is one obvious figure in this, but he or she is not the only one. There's also staff members. There's unions involved. There's all kinds of potential power centers, and I found that it's very difficult to get any of these power centers or potential power centers to want to work together if it means giving up some of what they already have.
Is that Alex talking?
That was Alex.
Yes.
Okay.
Anyone else want to comment?
Nancy from KPFT, I don't think I don't think it's very difficult. All these the WBAI plan, the KPFK plan, the KPFT plan we heard of last year. I heard about the WPFW from Benito. He says more or less manager control. I mean, he didn't. That's not the exact words, but anyway, I think the one point that is common to all these stations, we need input from everybody, from shareholders, from programmers, and I don't see that kind of communication going on at KPFT. That's what we need, and I think people are fearful, programmers are fearful to say if they have an anonymous way to do it. Here I'm getting in the wrong section, but I mean, we need input to be able to work with something, and then there's something to work with, right?
Well, we've had various versions of program councils and with various makeups of whether they were management committees or whether they were LSB committees, and they never worked. I mean, they never worked in the way that, in the sense that they were able to resolve the contradiction between having somehow democratic supervision of the programming in the person in the form of the LSB and people on it, really largely out of wanting to be able to have that kind of influence and effect. Whereas there's no real mechanism for doing that if the general manager and the program director just don't want to do it. And the last version of our program council is basically founded on exactly that. I mean, the general manager and the program director didn't want to do what the program council wanted to do, so it was effectively stopped meeting, and they essentially effectively ignored it, and its tenure ran out. But and so I think, you know, what we would like to have is somehow it's a place where, as Alex was talking about, there are, you know, vested interests in various ways, that it would at least come out in the open, that it could at least be argued on some principled grounds, or a place where it could be argued on some principled grounds. At the moment, as far as I can tell, at least at our station, there isn't any such place. I guess I would like to see the program council become such a place, even if it's only advisory. I mean, my own feeling is that it ought to be stronger than that if it's going to really work, but I'd be willing to go along with something which, I guess for the same reason Alex did, have something put in place better than nothing.
Michael Novick here. Can I speak?
Yeah, sure.
You know, one of the things that we did on the interim program council that existed at KPFK, this is before the Listener Program Advisory Committee, and that was created by a mandate from the old lab in the period before the LSBs were constituted. We actually had elected membership, and those elected included representatives of both the listeners and the paid and unpaid staff, so it was a place where different sectors could, you know, potentially meet. And I think the role
elected
of any program council should... Yeah?
Elected by LSB?
No, it was not elected by the LSP because it was actually created before the LSP was. We were elected by a vote of the listeners. We had a ballot that was in the folio that we used to distribute, and listeners cast their ballots, and then the paid and unpaid staff had an election, you know, just among themselves.
Among themselves,
For representatives, you know, each because the paid and the unpaid constituencies each elected a certain number of people. We had a mandate for gender equity and also for color, the people of color on the council. In any event, the main thing I want to make is that the main point I want to make is that we tried to take out through the listeners at large that discussion, so it was not only going on inside the station. And so when we were first set up, we were meeting in different areas around L.A. We met in Long Beach and Pasadena and, you know, South L.A. and East L.A. and had meetings that were sort of mini town halls, in a sense, inviting listeners in those areas to come and comment about the programming. And then what we were pushing for, I never got the management to agree to, was to have some mechanism for listeners at large to evaluate programming according. So we did come up with criteria, which I think are now being used by the current interim program director with this LPAC. He did take the criteria that we developed, which were about 8 or 9 points. I think I might have included them in what I sent to the list. But the idea was not just for the council to use those criteria, but for the listeners to actually use those criteria to evaluate the programming at large. And we had proposals to set up focus groups where people could have, like, little charlas in their home or something and invite their friends to. It would be much easier now because a lot of the programming is archived. You have a group of people come together, sit down, and listen to a month of a show very easily on the internet, and make some evaluations based on what they're hearing. And to me, that's the key part of it, because a lot of people have no sense of what they're missing or only listen to one particular show, and you want to get people to think about the totality of the programming. The other thing we recommend, and as I think we have less of now than we used to, is audition spots on the air. If people have a program proposal to use either the internet or some of the late night broadcasting as a place, or have some time slots for either series or for kind of somebody wants to get a show on, could have it on the air for a month, and people have a sense of what it is that they could be hearing besides the regular program they already hear. So I think all of those things would be essential aspects of a mechanism that would really work to refresh the programming and attract, the growing demographics in Los Angeles are predominantly, Mexican or Latino, African-American, Asian, and all of those are underserved comparatively by what we currently broadcast.
Any questions? Any other comments? I had a couple of questions for Michael, but any other comments?
Yeah, I have a question, Benito.
Go ahead, Benito.
I would like to know on what basis listeners would, I guess, quote unquote, evaluate programming.
Well, as I was saying, we had a list of criteria that included, faithfulness to the mission, the quality of the cast, the incorporation of listener comments and responsiveness to, input, some of the criteria in the mission, ideas of incorporating voices not commonly heard. I don't have them in front of me, and I'm on a family visit heading to a wedding, so I can't pull them off a computer. But we had about 8 or 10 criteria that were very thoroughgoing. The idea would be to put up something like that as an evaluation form, and people could assess on each of those points, was the show, satisfactory, excellent, or, inadequate, more or less. And you have a 3-point rating scale, basically, on 10 criteria. And then that would, you could then start to score, the audience responses based on something besides, oh, I love that show, or I hate that show.
Yeah. Well, but that assumes that the listener would know the what the mission is, correct?
Right. Well, I hope listeners know what the mission is, but if not, we need to continue to educate listeners what the mission is. They used to broadcast the mission pretty regularly on KPNK. I think they haven't done it so much recently. But, you know, we have like 6 or 7 different kids used to read the mission and, you know, like we played on the air.
I see Rodrigo. Can I intervene?
So who's
that? Rodrigo? You on?
Yeah. I want to speak.
Rodrigo, great. Glad you're here.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Go ahead.
Good, good.
Okay. Did you finish, Michael?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, one of the methods that, you know, we use, and it did work, is to have, you know, these community forums, you know, these town halls, you know, so with some questionnaire, you know, for the people who go to the town halls or the community, you know, events, however you want to call it, and we have done. 3 different forums in that sense. You know, actually, we did 6 in total. You know, with, you know, the Spanish language community, and then we did for 2 of the English town hall meetings. So, I mean, we got like a good response of the people, not only in terms of the programming, but in terms of what they want to hear and what, you know, like what they don't like, you know. Their, you know, their age, you know, and then also, like, if they are willing to participate, if they are members or not of the radio station, so you name it. It was like a full questionnaire that we developed. So what we did is take it to the community, right, do the event, you know, like I would do events, let's say music and, you know, things like that, and then we talk to the people and tell them, you know what, this is KPFK, you know, that we're coming to you, and we know you, you know, we are support, blah, blah, blah. So, and we pass the questionnaire around, right? So they got a good info because we have, like, all the papers, you know, that they filled out. So now, when the effort is done, you know, in, like, a, you know, like a whole team, so we as, you know, programmers or radio programmers got to develop our own way of, you know, qualifying or, you know, critique or analysis of existing programming. Let's say we develop a way of, you know, after certain months, you know, 3-4 months, we do 1 evaluation of the existing programming, and then we have to see what we are covering, and we are like a kind of fulfilling what, you know, they left and the documents they filled up, you know, so those things, you know, but the problem comes, you know, when, you know, all the power is just in one person, which is the PD, right? And pretty much, you know, it seems like everywhere is the same thing. Because what I heard on the national board, pretty much every PD seems to be, you know, good for everything, right? And then they don't take into account, you know, the opinion of the people. So if they don't take account the opinion of the people, we should at least, like you said, you know, we cannot. I mean, the programming council or the community advisory board cannot, you know, direct. It does can influence, you know, basically, or participate, you know, also with the programming committee of each local station board, right? Not only that, but there is the committees of inclusions, which are not, you know, actually present now. I mean, only I think KPFK, I don't know if some other stations have it. But, you know, committees of inclusion do have, you know, a specific line that says, you know, suggest or direct. And that's talking to the management, you know. So basically, there is power. The thing is that it has to be combined. It cannot be only one body, you know. So there are lacks everywhere on the bylaws that do, you know, prevent, you know, some power from some committees, but do give power to some other committees. So, in terms, you know, how we're going to evaluate that, you know, that's one of the good, really good methods, you know, when you go to the community and ask them directly, you know, and make them, you know, tell you directly what they want to hear and what they don't like. You know, there are some programs that, you know, most of the people don't want. I mean, you know, they got they got, you know, very little support. But when it goes to the management, you know, they say, no, well, those programs are good. So, but it's actually not out of the, it's something that you got to do, something that really got to put hands on it, you know, otherwise it's not going to work.
I had a couple of questions for both Rodrigo and Michael. Michael, as I understood, you were doing sort of getting people together outside the station in sort of after-dinner groups or some other way, perhaps they didn't quite get it all, and having them sort of sit down together and go through in an evening do some evaluation. Is that correct?
Yeah. No, actually, we proposed that from the program. Well, we did in the sense that we would have meetings of the program council in different areas and invite people to attend those meetings as public meetings to comment on the programming. But in terms of the focus groups, that was something we proposed to the management that was never done.
Never done. And I guess this is for then Rodrigo and you as well. So these forums, this was basically whoever showed up, and any evaluation that was done right then and there, or these people were somehow enrolled in doing it on a more longer-term basis?
At the public meetings, there was public comment, and people who came could evaluate, you know, offer what they wanted to offer. The interim program council itself had regular meetings at which we did evaluate particular blocks of programming based on the criteria that I mentioned. I can't enumerate them right now, but essentially they were sort of the quality of the air, connection to the mission, the outreach to new and younger audiences, and other factors like that. So we looked at the news programming that existed at that time, looked at the public affairs, the health and spirituality, the late night, several other different blocks of programming. And within the program council itself, we did the evaluation based on those criteria and came up with a conclusion, which we then forwarded to the management with no particular impact. We also, as the interim program council, were asked by management to evaluate several proposed programs, which we did. And in one case, they paid no attention at all. In the other case, they did the opposite of what we recommended.
Right.
That one led to a bigger brouhaha in which the LSB intervened, and actually there was a second process. And some of the things you recommended were at least temporarily aired. And that also led to the acceptance of the other recommendation we had made about a literary show, which is still on the air on the station. So that's the impact of an actual evaluation that we did in a more formal way according to the criteria. But that's all a couple of years, three or more years in the past at this point. And the replacement for that was the LTAC. The LTAC we proposed, which would have had more authority and also a process more open to the listeners at large, was never instituted. The LTAC that does exist, very few people know who's on it. Nobody, they have no public meetings, and there's no mechanism for anybody to forward suggestions or make comments to them.
I'm sorry, I got to finish what you're saying. How did the LSB manage to overrule the program director and the general manager and get the recommendations of the I guess this was the interim program council executive?
Well, the LSB passed a resolution calling for a process in which if the program director disagreed with the recommendation of the program council, that they had to explain it and justify it. As for the reasons why. The process around that led to the program director deciding, based on the further input he got, to put the show we had recommended on the air in a different time slot on a trial basis. So it was not that he was exactly overridden, but that he saw that it was politic to do something that would, respond to the criticisms.
Yeah, not so. Another thing that was done was, we asked for, the program director was called at that time before the local station board, He was questioned directly by this question, not only in regards of you know that Michael is talking, but you know a lot of other issues after he was evaluated, and his evaluation was really low. So what was done basically is that we gave to all the staff, you know, the opportunity to evaluate the program director. So that way you give also the people who work at the radio station, you give the power for them, you know, to them. So they all evaluate, you know, if they like, you know, the program director, or they like the management they have, you know, or if they don't. And then, as you know, the preview, the bylaws, you know, allow us, you know, to start the firing. And that's what happened, basically. One program director was fired as a result of his, you know, low qualifications, you know, and you know, the task that he was doing. But it seems like not, I don't know if, I mean, that would be a question, you know, for the different radio station representatives that are here at this meeting. You know, do you have that in place? Do you have, like, an every year, you know, evaluation of, you know, program directors? Because, I mean, we did it before. Now it's like this is an interim program director, and, you know, he hasn't been, you know, obviously totally evaluated. But that's my question, you know, to the rest of you.
I would concur with most of what I said, Rodrigo, to be saying that we've had an interim program director for about 2.5 years at this point, and he's only now being evaluated for the first time in that whole period, which is simultaneous with the process of also interviewing, beginning to advertise, and hopefully interviewing for a permanent program director, which I think he might apply for. So if the LSB is not fulfilling its function of evaluation of management, it's, you know, very difficult to get, you know, to think that management is going to, you know, if we don't take the bull by the horns around those issues, I don't think we can expect them to do anything just on their own out of the kindness of their heart.
Right. You know, I think that is getting close to what the real issues are. I think that, you know, the things that surround the programming are not working, and it becomes very difficult to then just focus on making sure that the program is working. Because I got a feeling that the more people that are involved, the more entities, the more committees that are involved in programming, the more confusion there's going to be. First of all, who do you hold accountable? If something doesn't happen correctly, do you hold the committee accountable? You wind up holding the program director accountable. So in all of the program director faced with that confusion winds up saying, look, if I'm going to go down, it's going to be based on my own, assumptions and on my own terms, you know, because I can't respond to all these different people, because each faction that comes into play with programming begins to believe that they have the last word in programming. And it becomes very difficult to program by committee, especially in Pacifica, because you have so many people who have their own idea about what makes good programming, what should go where, who should be on the air, who shouldn't be on the air. And it just becomes very difficult because all those other things aren't in place. I think if those other things get put into place, then things become clearer. You can hold the individual who was hired to do the job accountable for the job. You tell them what you'd like to see happen, and then you allow them to, based on the resources that they have, do what you've asked them to do.
I have a question for Bernard. Is anybody else? Bernard, what are the other things that you see need to be put in place in order to make this some kind of collaborative process workable, so that the program directors can feel that they're actually dealing with a sane and sensible process?
Well, I think the LSB, their program committee, really needs to sit down with the program director and begin to identify the kinds of things that they'd like to see on the station. And I got a feeling that once they do that, that they would begin, not the individuals, but just the kind, the areas of concern, the things that they would like to accomplish, communities that they'd like to bring in, issues that they'd like to confront. I think that they would probably wind up getting a lot of agreement with the program director, from the program director, and then give the program director a specific amount of time and the authority to put in, to implement those things that have been identified as programs and issues that they'd like to the station to cover. Right now, those kinds of things don't happen. Like I said, each committee had to deal with a program council, a program committee, the department heads, and each, not only did each group have its own idea of what should happen, but each individual in the group had their own idea of what should happen. And there was no consensus overall on what direction the station wanted to go.
Michael, I'm chiming in for a minute. I'm going to probably have to leave because it's very difficult for me to come in and out with the mute, and I can't really stay on without it. But I want to agree with Bernard about a couple of things. I think that I think the first reason to have a program council is to get everybody to buy into the idea that the programming on the station is going to change and should over time to remain pertinent to the issues that people are facing in the community. And until you have that understanding shared by everybody, then what you have is sort of the war of all against all, the people fighting to keep their own particular show or their favorite show, or their show that's been on for 30 years. In the case of KPFK, there are some shows that have been on, you know, since the station was founded, I think, you know, still on the air. So, or they're still broadcasting, you know, Alan Watts, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that getting everybody to understand that there's a need for the station to periodically and regularly refresh its programming to stay current and to stay relevant to the changing society and the changing demographics of the area is critical. And then once you have that, then you can start to identify, as you said, general audiences and approaches that would work to do that. But I do think that has to be sort of a democratic process of discussion to get people to that point. Once you do that, then I think a lot of things become possible, and people realize that, you know, maybe a show is not on every week all year, you know, or other possibilities, or maybe, you know, you have more quilting or more rotation, or you have guest hosts and a lot of other ways to bring in, you know, voices of younger people, you know, people more engaged in the struggles of the current hour, who want to hear themselves on the radio, and their community wants to get them on the radio and be heard. But until you get that buy-in, it's very difficult to do anything else. I am going to have to leave the call, I think, because I'm at this family function, and it's just too hard for me to keep clicking on and off with the mute.
I want to intervene, Peter Ligo.
Thank you, Mark.
Well, this is the thing, you know. One of the main, you know, objectives of people joining the radio and joining the different committees is to kind of help to develop a better foundation in terms of, you know, the servicing that is done towards the communities. That's given. The problem comes, you know, when you start this dialogue with the PD, you know. Unfortunately, and I don't know who can, you know, give me a good example of one of the PDs I listen to when the people get to together with them. I don't know. I haven't known of one, right? One single PD that will truly listen, you know, when you sit with them. You know, our experience, you know, and if it is one, please name it. Our experience is not that good. You know, as Michael was saying, you know, after these evaluations and so, you know, this guy just decided to put one of the programs that was the lowest. But that was like a really huge process of months, right? Now, when new PDs that we have, the IPD that we have, what do they say? Well, you know, I got an L pack. So But an LPAC that is appointed by him, right? Not an LPAC, you know, that, I mean, we don't even know who the LPAC are, right? So that way, you know.
What's an LPAC, Pedro?
An LPAC is you know, the programming committee that is supposed to be helping, right, the program director to decide which programs, you know, are going to be on the air. You know, so it's a programming advisory committee, basically, that, you know, that will give him, you know, that would allow him, you know, before the program committee or the board, you know, to say, well, you know, I got these people who are from different races and from the community, and they, you know, kind of substantiate, you know, the program decision that I'm doing, right? So when we ask him at the last meeting, that we can have, you know, a liaison, a person from the programming committee, and that LPAC, he said no, because the LPAC is really good, we are working very good, and you guys are against me, you know? So you seem like you're attacking me, you know? So he's like, well, you know, how can we as program committee can, you know, work? You know, we meet with him, right? You meet with the program director too, right? Any radio station is meeting with the program director every time the program committee meets. The program director should be there. But what is the attention that the program director pays to the program committee? I'm telling you, Los Angeles is zero, basically zero. So another thing, you know, when we started doing, you know, the evaluation and stating that that would be affecting, you know, his permanency at the radio station, you know, he tried to change, you know, the one we fired. It was too late. Forget it. You're gone. So, unfortunately, if we don't take steps like that, you know, it's not going to work. If it is a good program director and really listens, you know, and start a process and all that and is respectful, you know, that's a different story. But, I mean, up to now, I haven't seen one, just a single one, of the program directors of the radio stations that really do what, you know, the people are asking him to do. We ask him, okay, the program. And, you know, Mr. Bernard, you were talking about this situation about, you know, the programs and so on. So, well, this guy has been making all these changes. So we ask him, which of the programs that you have included in the new wave has worked? You know, that, let's say, Meet the Mission and Raise Funds. Raise Funds, none of them. Not a single one of the changes that was made, you know, and really, you know, I would say in pure way to do it, you know, none of those programs have worked. They are not really popular. They don't make no money. And some of them, let me tell you, do not fit into the mission. Some of them are syndicated. So, I mean, this is either we take the power, you know, and we really got the power to do it, but we are afraid to do it. I think, you know, most of the people, it's like micromanagement. I say, no, it's not micromanagement. It's just, you know, fulfilling the mandate that we have in the bylaws. The bylaws are really clear. It does give us the power to influence the programming. No, I mean, it's there. You look at the committees of inclusion, it's there. Explicit is there, right? So also to see that the changes are made in a respectful manner, a collaborative manner, you know, when or where in each of radio stations, you know, we have seen that they are done in a collaborative way. I don't know where, not in Los Angeles.
Well, does anybody have an example of something that actually worked in this general arena where...
Good question.
I want to listen.
This is Benito. I have something to say at some point.
Yeah, good.
Well, we here at PFW, we have a little bit of a different experience. As far as I'm concerned, we do have an IPD that does listen and is willing to incorporate people's ideas, both from the LSB and the programmers and listeners. Problem is that person ain't got no power since he's interim. But I would say this, the previous PD did begin to elaborate a process whereby the IPD and the programming committee could work together. And as my understanding, this is before my time, but my understanding is that it was in response to some kind of directive from the PMB that each station develop some standardized, I guess, kind of procedures, and they did work together. The LSB and the P did work together and did develop that. The problem is that person quit, and we've had an IPD since then, and with no power. But I'm just saying that I think that somewhat of a structure or relationship began to be identified, and this programming committee has continued to work on that recently, as a matter of fact, to improve on that. So I think it is possible to develop some kind of collaborative relationship. I don't know about other stations, and a lot of that has to do with the personality and management style of the IPD as well. And maybe that's part of what needs to be worked on, so that it's clear, and no matter what station we're talking about, what are the powers of the PD and where do they begin and end? What are the powers of the programming committee or program council and where do they begin and end? That's it.
George?
Yeah.
There was one, the December of last year, program council, which ended February of this year. The program director said he was going to put they were planning to put the CAN programs that are 6 p.m. to 5 a.m. And these programs are Explorations, Michio Kaku, Helen Caldicott's If You Love the Planet, Sonali Cole Hotkar's Uprising, and This American Life. They were all going to go to 5 a.m. And so the program council, which was, not being able to do anything, but we did, took a vote of our opinion, and the majority said, no, don't put the 6 p.m., those shows, those CAN shows to, they're nice shows, to 5 a.m., but and because the program director said they were going to put Al Jazeera at the 6 p.m. slot. So we voted our opinion, no, we don't want that. Instead, put it at 11 a.m. in the morning, the CAN shows, and then put Al Jazeera at 6 p.m. if you're going to do that, but not put them to 5 a.m. So all we did was voice our opinion in a majority. We took a vote of our opinion. That's all we could do. And it did, I think, influence. I think that did influence, plus some other emotional thing later happened. It did influence that. So they did not move those shows to 5 a.m., which would be awful, but Al Jazeera went to 5 a.m.
Congratulations. Bernard, you had mentioned the need to have an LSB program committee somehow come up with some, presumably in collaboration with the program director, some set of goals, I guess, for the station, some probably with some plan as well as to how to get there, as a kind of precondition for having a relationship between the PD and a program council. Do you see that having it in the program, does it matter whether it's an LSB program committee or whether it's a separate program council? Do you think that makes any difference?
Let me see if I understand what you're saying. The discussion?
Yeah, I mean,
discussion should take place.
Yeah.
I think that it should happen in. I think that the program committee and the program director should, the board should be the one to begin to determine now that they're, that they are decision-making boards, and that they should be able to, they should all be able to sit down and say, look, who are we? What do we want to do? What communities do we want to have involved? What ideas do we want to project? How do we want to position ourselves in this town? And they sit down, and it's going to take some time, and they work out what it is that they want the station to become. And then they allow the program director, in collaboration with the program council, to begin to fashion those things. It's going to be difficult, but right now you have everybody stepping on top of everybody, and nobody has any idea of what it is that how they want the station to be positioned at this particular time. And I think that until that happens, until the people can get on the same page about what it is they want to do, that nothing is going to happen. And program directors are always going to take it upon themselves to do whatever it is they think is going to help them to survive. Then you got the political stuff, too. I mean, so whatever faction is the strongest, a lot of times, that's where some of these program directors will lean in order to try and stay there. But if there's some overall plan, overall idea of what the station is going to be, then I think that begins to help everything.
So, if I could put that together with what Michael Novick was saying also about the need to be somehow a consensus that there has to be a process for changing the what's actually on the air and for relating to new communities, relating to the same communities maybe in different ways, all those kinds of things, that conversation has to happen. And sort of be agreed on. And I kind of hear you saying sort of the same thing, that the there has to be a place for that to happen, and it really has, people have to somehow commit to seeing to it that it does happen. I guess I had thought the program council would be such a place. That's kind of what I envision. The LSB, our experience with LSB program committees were they were more like what you had was talking about, and so one faction gets a hold of it and sort of plants its flag and makes its case and sort of pushes for what it wants, but there isn't really a commitment to somehow developing a consensus as to where the station as a whole wants to go. Well, any thoughts of how to move forward from here? I mean, I think we've sort of got some sense of the difficulties in the way, and I guess I'm still of the thought that it's probably useful for something like this, some version of a program council to be brought before the PNB, and the PNB to sort of insist that these kinds of conversations be held as a way of just moving beyond this kind of endless struggle over programming.
I would recommend also to read, bylaw section 3, specific powers and duties, letter G. It is very specific. It says to work with the station management to ensure that station programming fulfills the purposes of the foundation and is responsive to the diverse needs of the listeners, demographic and communities, geographic, served by the station, and that the station policies and procedures for making programming decisions and for program evaluation are working in a fair, collaborative, and respectful manner to provide quality programming. So, on the specific powers and duties, there is a specific item stating very clear what, you know, the each LSD acting, standing committee of the foundation, you know, has, you know, the powers, you know, which powers, you know, each LSD have. You know, the problem is that either we don't understand, you know, or we don't interpret different way, you know, the bylaws, or we don't apply it, you know. So, but it is very clear, and that's only one. I mean, there are like three different parts of the bylaws that you give power, you know, to various committees to do something. So, it's the bottom line is that how do you work at each radio station to solve, you know, the specific situation that you have. So that gotta come up, you know, from, because it's hard to have, you know, the same, like we got the bylaws, but how do we apply them, you know, according to each of the specific situations?
Right.
So that's another thing, you know, they gotta be developed by each radio station. I was listening to Benito saying that they have a good program director, they can work with it. Good, you know. And then I think it was from Houston or so. It was Nancy, I think. Somebody was saying that, you know, they kind of influence, you know, with the community advisory board, you know, not to make a decision that would affect the programming. That was good. But it worked, you know, good in those places. It might not work good in New York or in Los Angeles or at KPSA. So, you know, what we need to have, you know, is at least, you know, an agreement that we are going to develop different ways to do it. But we do have the power to do our work. We are not only advisory committee. It's wrong, you know. It's wrong. It's totally wrong. Community advisory board.
Say that again, Rodrigo. I didn't understand what you just said.
I said that, you know, it is wrong that we don't have no powers to influence, you know, the programming. We cannot make program decisions in a specific, right? But we must, you know, make sure that the programming, you know, fulfills, you know, or responds, you know, to the diverse needs of the listeners, right? So we have to make sure that it happens. We are not going to get in the way of a program director that makes good decisions, you know. Why? Nothing, you know, it's good, no? But if they are doing, you know, I won't say the name, right, but I was talking to one program director who said, well, you know what, I'm not going to the local extension board meeting, you know. What I'm going to do in there. So I've been paid, you know, just to change the program so they will work. I mean, we don't want that kind of program director, you know. Like, so they're not listening to no one else than themselves,
yeah.
Right? So that's bad. So, but some more, maybe WPFW has a good program director and, you know, is working, which is great. That's what we need, basically. People like that.
My sense is that, I mean, I agree with you completely about what's in the bylaws, and we're supposed to be working collaboratively on making policy decisions about the future of the station and how we want to function. But there has really been no procedures, no institution, no sort of workable practice at any of the stations, as far as I can tell, for making that happen.
Can I say something, George?
Yes, go ahead.
I just, in terms of what Rodrigo is just saying, the example he gave of a program director who doesn't want to go to a local station board meeting. That's unfortunate, but, you know, it may not always be the fault of the program director.
Yes.
Some of our local station boards are not... and Miley are not a very friendly place, and some of the behavior that goes on there is quite uncivil. So I may not necessarily blame a program director if he doesn't want to go to a local station board meeting. I think it's gotten better recently than it used to be, but it's still a problem, and there has to be a collaboration on both sides. So I think the local station boards or whoever is sort of the influential people on these local station boards have to think through what they can do to reach out to the program director. And, of course, the program directors should be going to the local. I'm not arguing that they shouldn't, but sometimes there might be some reasons why they're reluctant to do so.